Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 23. We get rolling here, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. What's going on, Mr. Boyd?
Man, well, show number 23, you know, I get excited. You know, it's basketball season, and I'm thinking number 23 in Michael Jeffrey Jordan. So this must be a great show, Mr. Wally. We're going to have a fantastic one today.
Absolutely. You know, we like Bruno Mars so much. Hey, he's doing the Super Bowl, and we got him here, you know, possibly twice if you tuned in on time, the Double S Express listeners.
Man, you know, that's the great thing about live radio. It is all the way live. So, you know, there's no faking going on here. We just bring it to you 100%, Mr. Wally.
Of course, so much going on in the sports world and not a lot of time to get to everything or not enough time to get to everything. But let's touch on a few bits and pieces that you took away from the NFL, starting with a game you worked for Fox Sports in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a game that was supposed to be, you know, have huge implications this early in the season. And we're talking about the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona came into town, both teams with a 3-2 record. And I can tell you that, you know, the San Francisco came into this game and they knew that they had to make a statement. And they did just that. You know, I was a little disappointed as far as Arizona was concerned because I thought that they would be able to put up a little bit more of a fight. They came out in the beginning swinging pretty hard, but, you know, the tough defense of the San Francisco 49ers prevailed, and the consistency of the San Francisco 49ers as far as Colin Kaepernick is concerned and Frank Gore, you know, Frank was just too much for them. But the biggest player on the game yesterday was Vernon Davis. I mean, he put up monstrous numbers, almost 200 yards in receiving, and it was overbearing for the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, I looked at one point, it was 22-20 Arizona putting up a good fight. And next thing I knew, it was 32-20 San Francisco in command. So definitely Arizona was in it for a minute. And then San Francisco just took over.
Yeah, one of the things, the huge question mark that I thought or the big factor that that Arizona had would be that running game. And they started out having a pretty good game. Rashard Mendenhall, you know, coming over from the Pittsburgh Steelers, was pretty solid, and they were gashing the San Francisco 49ers defense. And then all of a sudden, things started to tighten up for the Arizona Cardinals, and they had to rely on Carson Palmer. And Carson Palmer, you know, he's one of those quarterbacks, you know, we talk about quarterbacks all the time that show inconsistency. And Carson just didn't look like he wanted to press too much as far as, you know, keeping the team in the game. So he throws a pick, you know, one time there are a few 3-and-outs. And before they knew it, the Arizona Cardinals, I mean, before they knew it, they were behind, you know, a good 11 points, and, you know, the rest was history.
Moving to the land of the unbeaten, there are now two teams left standing, both in the AFC West, as the Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos remain perfect.
Man, and, you know, I love talking about this, and I bring this up week after week. If you would have said in the beginning of the season which two teams would be left undefeated in the NFL after knowing what we know preseason-wise and being the prognosticators that we are, to say that it would be Denver and Kansas City, to say that these teams in the AFC West are standing and holding firm, nobody would have believed it. And so I'm very excited to see the AFC West doing what they do. And, you know, Denver, we knew that they were going to be a strong team. But Kansas City, what a surprise, man. I mean, that is just a huge surprise, not only in the AFC West, but in the NFL. And I look forward to seeing what they do here, you know, in the next few weeks.
And a guy that has a little bit of history with the Denver Broncos is joining us now, big-time guest number one. Head out to the phone lines and welcome in University of Washington Husky great running back Greg Lewis. Greg, thanks so much for joining us here tonight on The Double with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I am a former Husky. But with this weekend's results, maybe we should lean on me being a former Denver Bronco.
Hey, Greg, nothing to hold your head down with, man. I mean, the Washington Huskies are definitely coming out and making a statement this year. Of course, you know, the past couple of weeks, losing to Stanford and then Oregon, it shows the strength of their schedule because, you know, they're ranked around 15, 16, and they barely dropped in the top 20, which means that they have gained a lot of respect in the college polls. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I think so, but I think even more than that, the Pac-12 has gained a lot of respect, too. In past years, we've showed up in the polls, and when we've lost a game, we've gotten knocked out, I think, with two losses coming back-to-back even, and still in the top 20, says that there's a lot of people nationwide, coaches poll and other voters that respect what the Pac-12 has done and is continuing to do this year.
Well, this has been a long time coming, Greg, especially, you know, with the Washington Huskies having such a strong history. And, of course, you playing in the middle of that strong history under Don James. Do you believe that the Washington Huskies are here to stay, that there's going to be a developed consistency in the next few years or maybe even further?
Well, you know, we definitely hope that we don't remain complacent where we are. I think right now some of us, you know, who go back to, you know, the late 80s all the way through the mid-90s kind of hope that we can ramp this thing up another notch. I believe, you know, under Steve Sarkisian and the current coaching staff that we have, their ability to recruit, their ability to game plan, you know, I can't see us losing any ground, but certainly, you know, we don't want to be satisfied with where we are. We want to be able to take things up to that level of competing for championships all the time. And as good as Oregon is and Stanford has been, I think the Huskies' desire is to, you know, be that same sort of school where every year we got a real legitimate shot. And I think we're just below that. Although I think we should have knocked off Stanford the other day.
Oh, definitely, Greg. Greg Lewis with us, Husky great running back at the University of Washington. And talking about that Stanford game, it was great to see the team not only rally and go blow for blow with Stanford on the road and have that last drive to have a shot to win the game. And it could have turned out right for the Huskies. And it's a shame that it was in the hands of the referees.
Well, you know, we can't leave it in the hands of the referees. That one call, you know, can't be the difference between a win or a loss if you're going to be a championship caliber team. I'm not saying that you don't have close games, but you still don't leave it to a one play, whether it's the referees making a bad call or even, you know, having to depend on that one play to get you a win or a loss in those championship kind of games. So I think, again, we just got to get a little bit better, although I'm not convinced that Stanford, you know, what I've seen from them, are a better team than the Huskies. They were better that day in the special teams game, which made a big difference in the final outcome. So, you know, I just want to see Dogs get better. I want to see the Dogs be the type of team that can go out on any given Saturday and beat anybody, whether it's Oregon or Alabama or whomever. And we're just not quite there yet. I give Oregon all the credit for the best team, you know, maybe in the country right now, and they certainly over the last 5 years have been one of the best programs in the nation. And, you know, as hard as it is for me to say that and believe and think that, it is what it is.
Greg, what do you think the keys are to maintaining success in major college football year after year after year, like Oregon has been able to do the past 4, 6, 8 years, and even the likes of Stanford and going back to USC, and even, you know, back when you played with the Dogs in the early 90s?
Well, football is truly a team sport, and it's something where it's got to be a program in every sense of the word, program. And that starts at the top, the commitment to having an excellent football program from the administration, the athletic directors, the university as a whole, and then hiring the right coach and having some consistency in your coaching where you're not changing coaches, you know, over a period of years. Having that consistency in your coaching staff, your head coach, and your assistants, and then, you know, doing well in recruiting. You know, this is a game that really depends on the decisions made by 17 and 18-year-old kids, and so you got to have a recruiting system where it's managed well, the identification of the top players and the best players, then the effort you put in the recruiting, and then, you know, closing and getting those kids to sign and having them excited about your program. There being a buzz around your recruiting grounds. That's, you know, and for us, that's Washington, California, you know, a little bit of Oregon, into Texas a little bit, and just being a, you know, having a buzz about your program because they know you're committed from the top all the way down, and you're making decisions that lean towards having a successful program, and then coaching the kids up and going out and winning some big games. That's what football is all about, but it's truly got to be a commitment from everybody because you can't just go out and recruit one great player or two like you can in basketball. You got to have a great program.
Great insight. Greg Lewis, former Washington Husky great, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. Greg, those are some great points that you mentioned. One of the things that you do for the Husky organization is the Big W Alumni Club. Kind of give the listeners an idea on what part the Big W Alumni Club takes in some of the things that you're talking about as far as developing a great program.
Well, back in 2000, I did take on the role as executive director of the Big W Club, but I did leave that post about 6 years ago.
Ah.
But I am still on the board of directors, though. And the Big W Alumni Club is really the foundation of the statement that we make, where we say once a Husky, always a Husky. It's an organization designed to keep former players involved with the program. And reconnecting those that might have lost a little bit of connection over the years, as far as being mentors, ambassadors, supporters, whether it's financially or coming in and talking with the current players. You know, I do go up at least once a year, usually the first game, and meet with the team before that first game to kind of do, you know, talk a little bit about the theme that they've established for that year. And then, you know, setting up road trips where we gather together any Huskies that are going to travel or that are already in the area where we're going to make sure that they're there supporting the team. So it's just creating that family atmosphere and then supporting the team and the organization in any way we can. And the Big W Club is a great organization, and, you know, I enjoy directing it and now, you know, serving on the board.
And so serving on the board for the Washington Huskies, of course, UW coming up with this beautiful stadium, $281 million put into this great project. Of course, that's a huge pull as far as recruiting is concerned. Have you seen the changes, or were you seeing the changes as that stadium was being developed as far as the types of people that were being pulled in, the types of recruits?
I think so. I think it's played a role, but now that the recruits are actually in it, every week watching the games and seeing the stadium and now getting a chance to actually see the weight room and the training room and all of that, knowing that the commitment is really there, I believe it'll have even more of an impact as time goes on, you know, this year and next year, that sort of thing. So I'm looking forward to the payout and the benefits of having that great facility. And believe you me when I say it's the best place in all of college football to go to a game. I'm telling you from experience, I've been everywhere. I know the Ducks have a great place to play, but it's not in a location like Husky Stadium is. And it's just, you know, it's a place anybody would love to play and be, you know, go for 4 or 5 years as a student athlete. So I think it'll pay real dividends in the recruiting thing. But at the end of the day, you know, recruits want to be part of winning programs. So you got to make sure you're doing everything you can, including having the right facility.
That's for sure. And you've mentioned some great facilities, especially Autzen Stadium in Eugene. Now, of course, the Pac-10 at the time, now the Pac-12, of course, adding Utah and Colorado. These are, you know, Colorado having a more, an older, prestigious stadium. You talked earlier as far as competing with, you know, the teams, the national teams like the Miamis, the Florida States, the Alabamas. How would you compare Husky Stadium, the crowd, the university, to some of these bigger colleges around the nation?
Well, you know, as I said, there's no better location in the country. You can come by boat. The Mount Rainier and Lake Washington behind the stadium is just an awesome sight. 75,000 seat stadium is going to be larger than a lot of the schools. I think we've shown over the years that our fans have a tendency to, you know, stick with us through the tough times, whether we've had success or not. Because going to the Husky game is more of an event, not just a game. So I think when it comes to tradition and what it means to a community, I think Husky football is in line with a lot of those places, you know, your Alabamas, your LSUs, your Miamis, because, you know, Husky fans have been there for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years even in some cases. So, you know, it's an iconic place with a lot of tradition. You know, I've had a history of a lot of success. When you think of West Coast programs, up until, you know, the last 6 or 7 years, it was USC and Washington. Those were the West Coast football programs that had that history and tradition. Oregon's building a lot of that right now. Those have been the traditional powers and great places to play. And I think, you know, we'll get back to that. But I think a lot has changed around the country. When you talk about getting your program back to where it was, it's a lot harder now because football is global. You know, kids can watch and follow a program through social media and Facebook and Twitter and all that from way across the country now. And with scholarship limits going down to 85, you can't stockpile as much talent as you used to. And with 20-hour practice rules, you can't build, you know, players and the great players as quickly as you used to. So, you know, there are some factors. And nowadays, like I said, with Stanford having had their success, Oregon being successful, Cal even had a good run of success, although they're kind of struggling right now, you have more competitors that you're competing against. So, you know, those are some obstacles to building your place back into a power real relatively quickly, but I still think, you know, we can get it done. Just like Oregon, it took them a while to get to where they are. They are where they are now because they stuck to their plan. They had consistency with their coaches, and then they showed a true commitment to wanting to have a successful program, and we continue to do those things. You know, we'll get back to where we can all be proud, and I think we're on that train right now.
Husky legendary running back Greg Lewis joining us here on The Double with the Double S Express. And Greg, the last couple of weeks on the football field, the Washington Huskies have showed a lot of heart and a lot of fight. Of course, this past weekend got away from them towards the end against Oregon, a position you know really well, obviously the running back position that you played. What are your thoughts on the year that Bishop Sankey is having and the runner that he is turning into?
Well, I think Bishop Sankey is one of the elite running backs in the country. You know, someone asked me that I think he was on his way to becoming one of the great Husky running backs. My comment was, he is one of the great Husky running backs. I think the kid is phenomenal. He runs with power. Even though he's not huge, he runs with speed. He does just enough with being elusive. He doesn't, you know, do too much. He's not trying to make 5 or 6 cuts. He's a 1 or 2 cut and go kind of guy, which I can appreciate because I think that was more my style as a runner. I think, you know, right now I'm on the selection committee for the Doak Walker Award, and I'm going to tell you, if I had to vote right now, he was certainly, not just because he's a Husky, he would be the guy that I would vote for because of his play on the field. But let me tell you this, knowing Bishop Sankey, I can tell you he's an even better person than he is football player. He's a great student. He's a great University of Washington role model. He's committed to the University of Washington as a whole with other committees that he served on. I was a guest lecturer in a class that he was in last year, and just all the things that he's doing, I think he's doing the right way. And the biggest compliment I could give him, just to show you how much of a kid, a great person I think he is, I have 2 daughters, and I'd be proud to have him as a son-in-law. So, I mean, that tells you how much I like the guy.
Wow. Man, Brianna and Janie, they better they better look out. Man, that's a huge compliment. And so, man, that says a lot about a young man. Bishop Sankey, of course, I mean, just the type of young man he is, you know, and how he how you said that he reminds you of yourself. He's, you know, he's a north-south type of a runner. And, of course, he has such a huge reason to play. I believe his grandfather, am I correct, who was blind until, you know, just recently. I mean, you talk about somebody that could play with a heavy heart, but he goes out there and he brings it every single week. And, you know, what a solid young man.
Yeah, he is. And speaking of his grandfather, you know, his grandfather was his first real big fan. He had sight previously. He actually used to fly into the town that Bishop was living in when he was in elementary and middle school just during the football season to watch him play and then move back to where he was living. And then he lost his sight and hadn't actually seen him play since the eighth grade. And just recently he had an operation that restored sight in one of his eyes. So it was the first time in many years that he got to see his grandson play. And he was there at the Stanford game and watching Bishop have another good game, as he always does. And so, you know, he certainly epitomizes a guy who has a lot of family support and is going out and making his family proud. You know, one of the things that I always thought about when I was playing football and just in general, my mom would always ask me, what was my last name? And I would say Lewis, and she'd go, and she would say, always remember that and represent your family well. And he does the exact same thing. So I think, you know, Bishop Sankey is just a great kid. And I would love to see him have success the rest of this year. I'd love for him to come back. Don't know if he will. But also in the future at the next level in the NFL and just have a great career, because he deserves it. And he's the type of person that will just use that as a platform to do positive things in his life and really bless others as well.
Yeah, it sounds like the Washington Huskies definitely have a few good young men on the team, mentors, if you will, and one being Keith Price, the quarterback. And, you know, rumors are is that he's, you know, he's being mentored by Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks. And so,
yeah, they struck up a good relationship last year as the premier or the guys who are leading the offenses out here in the city of Seattle collegiately and professionally. And he's another great kid, always got a smile on his face. You know, is another, he's a good student as well. And the kid really, really wants to win. You know, he's led this team amidst some tough circumstances. You know, last year, four of his starting offensive linemen were hurt for a major portion of the year, but he kept battling. He's played through injuries for the last 3 years when he hasn't been completely healthy. He's never complained. All he's done is gone out there every week, worked hard to get better, and help lead this team. He's broken a lot of records from a school that, looking at our history, we're a football factory and football U, and he's set a lot of records and broken a lot of records from some great players, from Warren Moon to Jake Lockers and a lot of guys in between. So I really respect what Keith Price has done and continues to do, and he's another kid that I hope has a lot of success at the next level.
Yeah, you know, Greg, one of the things that there was an article that was written this past week out of the Wall Street Journal, believe it or not. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at this article, but the article was talking about the University of Washington and some of the things that the Huskies would have to do to get back to that consistency. It went on to mention a few correlations as, you know, as the Huskies started to make a decline, of course, in the early 90s, Don James deciding to retire after protests because of some of the things that were going on in the alumni chapter. They also mentioned that it was almost a changing of the guards or like two ships passing. So the Oregon Ducks beat the Huskies in 94. Mm-hmm. And then as a result from there, the Oregon Ducks started on an incline and the Huskies kind of have gone on a decline. I guess my question is, the Wall Street Journal was talking about, does the atmosphere in the Pacific Northwest have what it takes as far as, you know, taking on, you know, being that big spectacle or that big grandeur as far as being a top team once again, especially after some of the nicks that were taken with the organization in the early 90s?
Well, I think, our leadership at the University of Washington in the last few years has made a commitment to being excellent in everything. You know, the University of Washington is ranked as the 16th best institution in the world by certain rankings. And, you know, we try to take that attitude of excellence and apply it to everything that we do. whether it's the research, you know, we're a tier one research institution, you know, with one of the best medical schools in the country, one of the best business schools, a great engineering program. And for us, athletics is a department within our university that will help us be excellent. And we want all the young men and women that come to the University of Washington to have a great experience. And I think they've made that commitment. You know, you see $280 million committed to improving our athletic facilities, you know, by upgrading Husky Stadium, upgrading our training facilities, our weight room facilities, our sports medicine clinic. So I think we've said, yes, the Pacific Northwest will go out and support athletics and football in particular just as strongly as some of the schools down south do, where they talk about football as a religion. Well, I think we're putting our money, at least where our mouth is, and our commitment to it by trying to go out and find the best coaches possible and, going out and finding the best student athletes. And, you know, really, you know, that word student athletes being something that we take pride in, because not just about the athletic side, but all our athletes are graduating. Our football team has the second highest graduation rate in the Pac-12 over the last several years, second only to Stanford. And that's ahead of a lot of great academic institutions like Cal and USC, UCLA. So we're definitely committed to that. We're committed to being that power. I just think in this day and age, because everything is so wide open from the standpoint of, you know, you can't just say all the great kids in Washington are going to play for the Huskies, or all the great kids in Northwest are going to go to a particular school, because football is no longer regional. You know, kids have access to follow and see what's going on across the country instantly with all the social media and all the, the means to follow other teams and connect with coaches and players from other regions and playing in all the all-star games and get to know kids around the country. So I think it just takes a little more time, perhaps, to get there than it would have, say, 15, 20 years ago.
That's the voice of Washington Husky great running back and the inaugural Doak Walker Award winner, Greg Lewis. Greg, we definitely appreciate your time tonight. And before we let you go, is there any way, either on social media or that fans can drop you a line on an email or find you on the UW campus with your day job?
Oh, yeah. I'm on Facebook, under Greg Lewis. I'm easy to find. I pretty much accept almost all friend requests. And as long as people keep it positive, you know, I'm very accessible and reasonable and will respond to any questions or comments or requests, that sort of thing. I am a Husky, you know, through and through. So, of course, I root for the University of Washington, and you'll see a lot of Husky stuff on there. Again, I remind people I was a Denver Bronco as well. So I know Seahawks fans might not appreciate it, but go Broncos. So if that's a problem, you know, you might not like my Facebook page. There's a little Bronco stuff up on there as well. And if you go to www.washington.edu, you can always find me in the UW directory.
Awesome. Greg Lewis, thanks so much for your time tonight. We appreciate you having you on. So much more we could talk about. Hopefully we can have you on again in the future.
Anytime. Thanks, guys, for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, Greg.
There goes Husky legendary running back Greg Lewis. An awesome guest here, big-time guest number one on a busy show. We've got big-time guests coming up. Sean wants to tell us who is coming up after the break.
Well, guest number two coming up is, now we're going to flip it to the Oregon Ducks side. Of course, there was that great game this past weekend. We have former Oregon Duck linebacker David Massey, former owner of the Tacoma Thunder IBL basketball as well. And so, we look forward to hearing some great things from him. So, you know, don't touch that dial or don't click off of that internet, if you will.
Likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd as we move into the second half hour of the show.
Man, what a great first guest that we had on the show. Of course, Greg Lewis, Husky legend, Doak Walker Award winner, and Denver Bronco, I might add. Man, he had some great things to say. Of course, we talked a little bit about the game. But more importantly, there are some things that are happening development-wise as far as the program is concerned moving forward. You know, I know that there are huge question marks that, you know, the nation talks about and, of course, local talk about as far as, you know, are the Huskies here to stay? And, you know, it sounds like there are some good things on the horizon.
Well, you can tell on the field that they're moving in the right direction. It's definitely not happening as fast as everybody wants. Everybody wants things instantly in social media, Twitter, Instagram right now. But, you know, things take time. And, you know, that's the case at UW and in colleges all over the country.
Yeah, and we live in an instant society, as you're mentioning. And so, you know, I just think that it's a matter of time. I love what Sark is doing. And, you know, I think in the next couple of years, you know, there will be a solid foundation established. And, you know, of course, they're building the facilities and, you know, all of those things. You know, still have a little ways to go to catch up with the Oregon Ducks, of course. But, you know, who knows? Maybe somewhere down the line that, you know, this could be a true rival to where these guys are battling head to head, you know, like these SEC teams that were sitting number one and two at some point, you know, and, you know, battling for national supremacy.
Let's go out to the phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number two tonight, our Oregon Duck insider. That is former linebacker for the Ducks, David Massey. David, thanks so much for hopping on here on the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for having me, fellas. How you guys doing today?
Good, man. It's a great weekend for you, of course. You and I had talked over the weekend a little bit, and it, you know, kind of a premonition on what we thought was going to go down, and it almost went exactly like we talked about. Taking nothing away from, you know, from the Huskies, because the Huskies did an awesome job, and you know, I told you that I was looking to, you know, growing up with those Husky ties, I was hoping that, you know, something miraculous could happen. But then, you know, Oregon is just Oregon right now, and they're on all cylinders. And, you know, out of all the years that they've been in the top five, I believe that this is the year that they really have a legitimate chance to win the national championship.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you look at this year, I mean, the speed on offense and defense, the depth that we play with, also I think a lot of the questions that people had about Mark Elsert when he took over as head coach, they've been answered. I mean, it's like it's a well-oiled machine right now.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, you're talking about Marcus Mariota as well. You know, what an awesome quarterback. This young man as a sophomore, I mean, is just doing phenomenal things. You mentioned all the great quarterbacks in the country. His name has to be brought up number one, 24 of 31 this last game and three TDs against a stout University of Washington defense. I mean, you know, that says it all right there. This guy is unrattled, wouldn't you think?
Oh, man, I feel like this. I predicted when after I saw his first few games last year, I said to a friend of mine, I said, if we can get him to at least stay through his junior, hopefully senior year, that he could easily shatter every record that that Oregon quarterback holds right now. And I've been hearing about him since he was in high school because, you know, kind of two of my old roommates, the Malapiai brothers, they had been telling me about him from Hawaii. And so when I heard he got the starting position, you know, different people I knew that are Duck fans, they're like, you know, how can that be? You know, he's a freshman, this and that. And I kept telling him, hey, I have a very good authority that this guy's the real deal. And like I said, he's never disappointed.
David Massey, former Oregon Duck linebacker, joining us on the Double with the Double S Express. And David, sticking with the Oregon offense, it almost looks unstoppable. And as you said, a well-oiled machine. And just this past Saturday at Washington, every time the Huskies were getting off the mat and trying to throw a jab, back come the Ducks with an uppercut.
And you know, that's the thing about it. I'll tell you what, I tip my hat to UW because I was actually surprised at how well they did play. And I think the biggest glaring difference between, you know, their offense and our offense is, I mean, we just have a ton of depth. I mean, from the starters to the second, third string guys. I mean, you know, Marcus Mariota, he spreads that ball around at almost every single receiver out there. He gets everybody involved, and he gets himself involved running the ball. And like I said, I mean, right now, any team that's watching us right now, you know, they have to be nervous because there's so many weapons out there on offense that it'll be hard to stop.
Looking at the rest of the schedule for the Ducks, I mean, you have to say it, there's not a lot there that really scares you. I mean, you've got ASU playing well, but outside of that, you know, Oregon should be able to handle most everything that's thrown their way.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I'll tell you, the one team that still makes me nervous is always Stanford, because Stanford is Stanford. You know, I was actually at that game last year when we should have beat them at home, and I was sitting actually in the end zone when Marietta broke that long run and D'Anthony Thomas didn't get the block there at the end. And like I said, it's like I feel confident we can beat Stanford just the same way that we beat the Huskies. But at the same time, you never can tell because Stanford is always Stanford, especially have to go into their home and play. You know, but I mean, honestly, for me, I think that would probably be our toughest test, just because of the, you know, it's a style of offense that they play, and they have they fly around on defense too. And for me, it's like that's the only game right there that I'm really looking at that I think is going to be a major challenge for us.
David Massey, former Oregon Duck linebacker extraordinaire, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. Hey, Dave, you know, there are some lean years when you played for the Oregon Ducks. And, of course, there was, you know, the team was just getting ready to turn the corner as far as, you know, the strides towards a winning program. I had the chance to have we had Greg Lewis on just a minute ago and just talking about, you know, what it takes to build a solid organization. Do you think that there's an organization or a program even close to what Phil Knight is doing and Oregon is doing as far as the great facilities, the amount of money that's being put into the program? Do you think at some point it's going to slow down in the near future?
I hope not. I'll tell you, because you know, like you mentioned, you know, when I was at Oregon, yeah, we had some lean years, and even to the point where, you know, I kind of joke around with different friends of mine. I tell them, you know, when I first got to Oregon, my freshman year, the locker room that we had to get dressed in was literally maybe a little bit bigger than my master bedroom. I mean, that's how small it was. And I mean, you had guys sharing lockers, and we used to have to get dressed in shifts. But part of the reason why I went to Oregon was because they already had the blueprint for the Casanova Center. And so on my recruiting trip, I saw the blueprint for it, and they'd actually kind of started working on it. And so they actually started building on the success that we currently have. And that actually started back in 89 and 90. And so even now to this day, like, I've gone back and I've had the tour. And what we thought were great facilities when we were there, the Casanova Center and the, you know, the upstairs part in the meeting room, they've added on to all that, and they've even added separate wings. And I mean, like I said, the way it looks right now, if I was a Duck right now, I probably wouldn't have an apartment. I would just live at the facility.
So yeah, so you answered my next question, because I was going to ask you, what does it mean actually to the, you know, to the alumni to see, you know, these things developing? I know when I called you over the weekend, you know, one of the things that you said was, "Man, I'm up, I'm watching College Game Day." You know, it's leading into the kickoff, you know, and something tells me you're not alone. And Duck Nation just seems to get bigger and bigger by the minute. But, yeah, there has to be a great deal of pride, you know, for being an Oregon Duck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that pride right there. I mean, and you guys remember, you know, all the way back to when you know, when I was living up in the Seattle area and we were doing our thing with the Tacoma basketball, I mean, you guys knew me. It's like I always rep the Ducks. It's like I always have an Oregon hat, a T-shirt, a golf shirt, something. You know, and so True. For me, it's like I've always had that pride in it. And so what's funny for me now, honestly, is like, you know, there's times where I'll be places and people, and they don't know that I played there. And so they think I'm just a regular old fan. And so they start the conversation, and there's times where I let people know, it's like, no, there's a difference between a fan and an actual Duck. It's like, you know, for me, it's in my blood. You know, and so it doesn't matter where they're playing, when they're playing. I mean, it's like even if they're playing on a station that I don't get because I have DirecTV, I find a way to stream the games from, you know, from the Pac-12 network. Whatever I have to do to catch a Duck game, you know, it's like me and my family, we road trip it. And so for us, it's a way of life, and that's why we call it Duck Nation.
Former Oregon Duck linebacker David Massey joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. David, was there a little concern when Chip Kelly left the program, any uncertainty as to how the transition would be made?
I think for a lot of people outside of the family, outside the program, I know there was a lot of questions. But I think for all of us that have been a part of it and witnessed it, you know, behind the scenes and up close, I think we realized that even though we lost Chip Kelly, you know, the nucleus that has been there for years, you got guys like, you know, Gary Campbell and Steve Greatwood and Don Pelham. You have guys that have been there for, you know, 25, 30 years. And then on top of it, the fact that, you know, Mark Helfrich, you know, he was staying. And Scott Frost. So, I mean, it's like even though we lost Chip Kelly, I mean, the blueprint was there. It's almost like, you know, it's kind of the same thing as we say about the team, next man up. So when we lost Chip Kelly, it was just next man up. They moved Mark Helfrich up. They moved Scott Frost up. And it's like, you know, you plug in another piece here or there, and we keep rolling. So I think initially when we heard that he was leaving, you know, I know there was a lot of former players, and they were kind of like, oh, you know, what's going to happen? But once we realized that really he was the only person we really lost as far as coaches go, I think all of us were, you know, kind of breathe a sigh of relief to realize that, you know, nothing was going to change really offensively. And like I said, like you got guys who've been there, you know, been there for almost as long as we've been alive, coaching.
David, if you were on the recruiting trail and you had a chance to speak to some great high school football players that were choosing between, you know, some of the top programs in the country, which right now definitely includes Oregon and has for the past 5, 6, 8 years, what would you say to them that could maybe steer them toward Oregon? Obviously, that, you know, they've been close to a national championship and people know about Phil Knight. What would you say that could maybe put them over the edge to get them to play Oregon football?
I would probably say that, you know, if you come to Oregon and play football, you're not just a football player. You know, like I said, it's a way of life. It's a movement. There's guys that have played, you know, far before me, you know, Ahmad Rashad, you know, guys like that. You know, and there's times where, like, when we go back to some of the alumni functions, it's really great to see some of these guys that kind of laid the foundation for us, and then I get a chance to meet some of the younger guys who came after me. And so it's a big brotherhood. And the other thing that especially, you know, if a guy decides that he wants to reside and stay in the state of Oregon, I mean, to this day, like I said, I mean, I haven't taken a snap in almost 20 years, but even there's times in my daily job, in my career, people, you know, I'll be in a meeting and they'll be staring at me and they'll say, wait a second, did you play at University of Oregon? You know, I know I recognize your name. And so, like I said, it's a way of life. It's a movement. And that's what I would say is, like, you know, if you come to play at Oregon, first of all, you know, you're going to be part of an exciting program, but then also, you know, you're part of a brotherhood that lasts forever.
Great insight from former Oregon Duck linebacker David Massey here on the Double with the Double S Express. David, thanks so much for your time tonight, and we appreciate your insight, and we look forward to having you on in the coming weeks as we get closer to bowl season in college football.
Looking forward to it, fellas, and go Ducks!
There he is, David Massey, our Oregon Duck insider. Thanks so much to David Massey for your time. And the Oregon Ducks are definitely on the right track and have been for the past handful of years. And, man, another great guest for us here tonight on the Double with the Double S Express. And we've got normally only two guests, but we are going ahead with three tonight, a jam-packed show. Stay tuned for guest number three, another former Oregon Duck, wide receiver Daniel Barkley, coming up right after this on The Double with the Double S Express.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm not looking for a come up. This is awesome.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
I'm Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Guest number three is upon us. Of course, having David Massey on from the University of Washington, former University of Washington linebacker, former Oregon Duck. Oh, man, he's going to kill me. Former Oregon Duck linebacker back in the day. And, of course, our first guest, Greg Lewis on, Husky legend. And so here we are. Guest number three, Sean Wally, and it's been a great show thus far.
Absolutely. We have followed the lines of the game this past Saturday at the University of Washington. Started off with a Washington Husky, former football player, and now we've gone to the Oregon side, and we will be sticking to the former Oregon Duck side and bringing on another former football player for the Ducks here in just a moment. Here on the Double with the Double S Express. And let's do that right now. Head on out to the phone lines and bring in big-time guest number three, former wide receiver for the Ducks, Daniel Barkley. Daniel, how you doing tonight?
I am doing good. Thanks for having me on today. How's everybody doing here?
Great, great, Daniel. Man, you know, this is an exciting time for me to get a chance to interview you. And, there's a big, huge weekend this past weekend with the Oregon Ducks coming into town to take on the Washington Huskies. And, you're right. I have to tell you, you are 100% right. The Oregon Ducks took care of business, man, and they look sharp.
Yes, it was definitely fun being at the game this weekend, working at UW. I get a lot of smack talk to me from being a Duck. And so getting to go out there and watch my alma mater go to work and take care of business, it was a lot of fun. To go check out that game.
For those of you who don't know, tuning into the show, Daniel Barkley with us, former Oregon Duck wide receiver and now currently working at the University of Washington. Daniel is also my son, and so I am very excited to have this chance to interview. One of the perspectives that you bring, Daniel, of course, is you had the chance to play in this high-speed, high-powered offense that we see every Saturday. Give the listeners an idea on what it's like, the game day preparation, what's going on with the coaching staff and how the players respond.
Well, just give you a little perspective on when I started playing. We had our office of coordinator was Gary Croton, who went down to LSU, and Trevor ran a couple times. And so we ran the spread offense, but we definitely didn't run at that pace. And then going in that January 2007, we picked up Chip Kelly. He was our offensive coordinator. And things change. You know, practices were faster. Everything was much more at a high pace going into spring ball. And so we really got our first taste of it then when we got to, it was no huddle all the time. Things were just a lot more fast, quick movements around the practice field. It wasn't as many breaks and as much slow time within the practice. It was more about learning on the go. And so as we went into fall practice and we really got going, it was just literally about full speed all the time. If you didn't know something, you had to catch up. You had to play that catch up game throughout the week. And so it really prepared you that, you know, you spent time looking at the playbook outside of practice. You always had to make sure that you were moving to one location or moving to the next drill. And so it was always high speed. It was really a little fast paced and a little overwhelming when you first got into that offense, and to the practices, how Coach Kelly liked to do it. But as you got used to it and it started slowing down some for you, it was just sort of, you know, common practice for us, and it was just something that we can continue to work on, and it became a little easier.
Now, one of the things, Daniel, when you got to the University of Oregon, of course, you'd mentioned Chip Kelly coming in and introducing this fast-paced offense. This was something that you were used to, actually, of course, playing in high school and, you know, playing at Clover Park High School, and offensive coordinator David Pritchard bringing in a new style of offense. And, of course, Carl Nyberg, one of the offensive line coach, implemented the signs. And I don't know if you remember the signs that we used to hold up and having different plays, and we had that hurry-up offense. And sure enough, all of a sudden, you go to the University of Oregon, and it was something that was – I believe that it was real easy for you to catch on to.
Yeah, it was different. We definitely got a little bit of the taste of the spread, no huddle offense when we were there at Clover Park High School, and it was a lot of fun to do. I did catch on to it very quickly, and when Chip got there, it was definitely a little different though. When you're playing at the speed of those college players, it takes a little adjustment, especially being one of the young guys out of high school. But once you get into it, it's the same football. And so it just reminded me back to high school once I was able to really understand the playbook and get going. It was a really easy transition.
Former Oregon Duck wide receiver Daniel Barkley joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, and I might add my co-host son. Daniel, in terms of the speed, it seems like you have to not only be obviously playing high-level college football, be in great condition, be a great athlete, but in this type of fast-paced offense that we're starting to see, obviously we've seen for years at Oregon, you played there, and we're seeing also nowadays in the NFL game, you also have to be very, very smart on top of a great athlete.
That is definitely true. Big thing about Oregon is that they recruit players that fit their system. If you don't fit their system, you're not going to play there. And so one thing that I've seen as now that I'm, you know, graduated from University of Oregon and moved on, to not only have the smart players, they starting to get the players with those physical tools that match the Alabamas or, you know, the USC's for me just a few years ago. So you definitely do have to be smart to be able to understand the playbook and be able to make quick adjustments on the fly, because that's what you're doing in that offense. But now that they finally starting to get those, you know, 6'8", 290 defensive linemen who are that smart and play the Oregon football way, you're really seeing that program take that next step.
Now, Daniel, we don't want you giving any Duck secrets away, but in seeing these fast-paced offenses and running up and down the field and almost being unstoppable, can these fast-paced, hurry-up, go-go-go offenses be slowed down?
One thing I would say is you're going to have to have a great defensive line that can get back in the backfield and cause disruption with the timing of the play. But honestly, Oregon's offensive line and their scheme, the depth is just phenomenal. And so So it's very difficult to see Oregon being stopped anytime soon just because of that depth and that speed that's been built into that program. It's a lot different from a few years ago. So I really don't know if it can be stopped, but if anyone had an opportunity to do so, they're going to have a great defensive line.
Daniel Barkley, former Oregon Duck wide receiver, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Hey, Daniel, shifting gears just a little bit. Of course, you had mentioned that you are currently working at the University of Washington right now. Give the listeners an insight on what it is that you do for the Huskies.
Yes, I'm the Leasing and Outreach Coordinator with Housing and Food Services. So I manage all the tours and presentations, and I work with different departments around campus. If they have any tour requests, if they have anybody in town, any special guests, I manage all that tour process along with it.
So tell me this then. Do you find yourself in a compromised position? Because once a duck, always a duck. That's what I was told from David Massey. And so, you know, getting the chance to show some recruits around. Of course, you had the chance to show, you know, one of the, you know, top basketball players in the country, in Darren Johnson. He signed with the University of Washington to play ball. Do you ever find yourself in a situation where you're like, man, I believe that this guy probably would be a little bit better down in Eugene?
Not at all. the really cool thing is I did get to grow up a UW fan, and then I got to go experience what Oregon was like, and I understand both places have great programs and it's great atmosphere. I love living in Seattle, and so I can truthfully tell one of these guys that Seattle is a phenomenal place to live. And so regardless of, you know, me being an alumni and playing down at Oregon, it's truly Seattle's a great place to be, and I would never compromise a recruit or I want the recruits to be able to decide on their own, just like I got the opportunity to decide where I want to go on my own. And so I'll just let them know how great of a city Seattle and how great of a university UW is.
Awesome. So what's on the horizon for Daniel Barkley? Of course, I believe that you've mentioned some things as far as possibly getting into the organization a little bit more firm as far as coaching is concerned. Or what do you see yourself doing in the next few years or so?
I just am blessed to have a great job here at the UW right now. I'm going to keep striving and taking classes and doing whatever I can to further myself professionally. And, you know, the sky's the limit, and so we'll definitely see what the future holds for me.
Daniel Barkley, former Oregon Duck wide receiver and current employee at the University of Washington, as he blends his colors and his ties. Daniel, thanks so much for your insight tonight, and we look forward to talking to you in the near future. And thanks for joining us here on The Double with the Double S Express.
Thank you, and Dad, give Mom a hug for me.
I sure will.
You're scoring points, young man. You're scoring points.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
Former Oregon Duck wide receiver Daniel Barkley, kind enough to join us on The Double with the Double S Express as we finish our big-time guest number three. Unusual. We had three guests tonight, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, you know, I think this is probably one of the best shows I've enjoyed. Of course, you know, having my son on to get a chance to interview him. But for one, getting a chance to get three perspectives on what went on as far as this Pacific Northwest rivalry, that is the Oregon Ducks and the Washington Huskies, getting a chance to hear from alumni from the Huskies and from the Ducks, and then also kind of getting a current perspective as far as what it took to develop, for that game or for that week. And, you know, having, you know, Daniel on to talk about the University of Washington side and the Oregon side. And he's right. You know, he was raised to be a Husky. And, you know, but getting the chance to go to the University of Oregon, you know, I couldn't be more proud getting the chance to see him play, you know, and play in the bowl games and, you know, being on such a great program that is Oregon. You know, I have mixed emotions when they, you know, I did. I had mixed emotions on Saturday when Oregon played Washington.
But we do know that you were wearing purple that day.
Yeah. Yes. You know, Daniel's going to kill me for that. Thank you. Thank you, Sean. Yeah, so I had my purple cardigan sweater on, yes. And, you know, there's something about it. You know, I grew up with that, you know, bleeding that purple as well. And so, you know, part of me was saying, man, it would be great to have that turnaround happen and, you know, to play against Oregon. You know, I was thinking, you know, hopefully that would happen, but it didn't happen. So either way, I'm happy because there's a great love for both organizations.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express, and we will be right back after this to wrap up the show and talk about what's going on in sports in the next week, right here on the Double with the Double S Express.
Likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere. You'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. A great show here as we wrap up show number 23.
Yeah, you know, you'd mentioned that, you know, having three guests on the show, which is something that we don't normally do, with the exception of having the Tacoma Thunder reunion, which the show was a little bit longer. It was a great show, man. I really had a treat getting a chance to talk with Greg Lewis and David Massey, and then finally Daniel Barkley. And, you know, all three guests gave great insight. And, it's fun to hear what these guys are doing still, you know, after graduating and moving on, getting the chance to root on their teams and their organizations, but actually still doing some positive things, in the community. That says a lot.
Absolutely. A jam-packed show, and it's great to have the Washington side, the Oregon side, and get the insight on not only playing, but how to keep programs moving forward and how to sustain success.
Yeah, you know, and that's the key. You know, Phil Knight has done an excellent job on making sure that, you know, the Oregon program has stayed, you know, with a solid validity. And it's a blueprint for a lot of organizations around the country to adhere to. And, you know, the biggest thing is just making sure that everything is done right. And the University of Oregon has done everything right as far as, you know, developing this program. And, you know, let's face it, there are a lot of programs and teams around the country that haven't done, you know, those things that we're talking about. And they get caught and they get sanctioned. And, you know, but yeah, hats off to the University of Oregon.
Of course, more college football upcoming this next week. Before we talk to you next with show 24 next Monday, and definitely a lot of great action on the football field, both college and the NFL. The NFL starting week 7 on Thursday with the Seahawks visiting the Arizona Cardinals.
And, you know, I wouldn't expect anything different. This, you know, the Seattle Seahawks have had some, you know, some tough times. I know that game yesterday wasn't an ugly win, but, you know, as you say, Sean, a win is a win. And, you know, these guys are prepared to go in and, and take care of business, I believe. You know, the Arizona Cardinals, from what I saw over the weekend, just weren't ready to, you know, step up into that next echelon as far as being one of the better teams in the NFL. They had the chance. They had the chance to knock San Francisco down, and San Francisco showed up. So I expect more of the same with the Seahawks this Thursday.
Well, it's a division rival, and you always know you're going to get a dogfight in the trenches for sure. And yeah, the Seahawks did pull out the victory, and the defense got back to what they do best, and they did not allow a touchdown. The lone touchdown for the Titans was on special teams after a fumbled field goal attempt. And so, yeah, it's just a matter of whether the offense can get clicking on all cylinders. And when that happens, Seattle's going to be really scary, because right now the offense is not doing that outside of Marshawn Lynch. And it's the passing game that is sputtering a little bit, yet they're still able to win 5 out of 6 games.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing is that the Seahawks have a lot of injuries. And so once these guys are start to come back from the injuries, of course, Max Unger coming back, a former University of Oregon Duck, you know, coming back from his injury. You have a couple other guys, you know, coming back from injuries as well. Once the Seahawks become at full strength, then I believe you're going to see, you know, the juggernaut that everybody believes that the Seahawks are, and that the Seahawks believe that they are as well moving forward.
And down in your neck of the woods in Raider Nation, the Raiders are off here in Week 7, get to rest up and hopefully heal up, definitely on the offensive line, and see if they can lick a few wounds after, you know, staying close in Kansas City for a while over the weekend, 7-7 and then 14-7 Chiefs, and it's thinking, okay, the Raiders are putting up a fight, and then it got away in a hurry.
Growing pains, that's what we're looking at, and that's what I can attest this development too. You know, of course, you know, when the Raiders lose, everybody has a ha-ha and it's a joke, and you know, it's a big deal. But more importantly, I think, you know, in the near future, the Raiders are going to be a team that's you know, going to get back to that dominance, if you will. And so it's just going to take a matter of time. The huge question mark, you know, after a bad loss is, you know, your quarterback. You know, is Terrell Pryor the quarterback of the future? I believe that, you know, we could win with Terrell Pryor. And so I just think that, you know, just, you know, maintain and have faith. And, you know, this young man, you know, is a great specimen as far as athleticism is concerned. And I'm not like, you know, most of the other media or prognosticators that believe that he's not accurate and he can't throw. I believe that he's got a great ball, and I believe he has an excellent future. And I'm hoping that it's going to be with the Oakland Raiders.
Well, one of the good things that Pryor's doing here during this bye week is he's going back to L.A. to get with his extra quarterback coach to maintain proper throwing motion, go through drills, and to not revert back to old bad habits.
Yeah, Sean, the biggest thing is to stay focused. And I believe going into this past week, I think Terrell lost a little bit of focus. And what I mean by that is you start to hear a couple of things come out of his camp, you know, quotes that come out of his camp. He's so truthful that sometimes it hurts him. And one of the things that he said was, is he says, man, I want to, you know, make sure that I cross my T's and dot my I's to where I don't wind up like Tim Tebow. And I thought, well, man, you were doing great all the way up until you mentioned Tim Tebow's name. You know, there was no need to mention, you know, Tim Tebow. You're a great quarterback, Terrell. Continue to have a strong progression and just worry about the things that makes Terrell better. And I think that he kind of lost sight of that during the week. And I don't know if it was, you know, maybe a slip of the tongue or whatever. But I think if he can go down and focus, you know, strengthen those mechanics a little bit and, you know, understand that he is the leader of the team, which I believe he knows he's the leader of the team. I believe that the Raiders are going to do some great things here in the next year.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. And one thing we have not mentioned yet is you iPhone users, iTunes users, Apple users can now find this show podcast on iTunes. If you miss it live or want to hear it again, you can now find us on iTunes in the iTunes store. Search for On the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, you know, this is just, you know, one of the things, Sean, that, you know, we're trying to bring great sports to the internet. And, you know, for those of you, if you have any questions or if you have any insight, you can always email us, and you can email Sean Wally at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at double-s-express.com, or you can email yours truly at Sean, S-E-A-N, at double-s-express.com, and that's X-P-R-E-S-S. And so, yeah, you can listen to all of our shows in syndication, and, you know, just look forward to great sports talk.
Absolutely, and that will happen next Monday night for our next live show, show number 24 of On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll have more big-time guests, more insight, and, you know, Sean, as you know, we've both made some good contacts in the last few weeks working NFL games and have the potential for some good media members and keeping the flow going in the big-time guest channel of you know, former players in the NFL ranks and even Hall of Famers, and we don't want to name drop just in case they don't come through, but big things in the pipeline moving forward here on the Double.
Yeah, you know, and you know, as the show gets bigger, you know, I know that we, you know, we said to call us, and don't be afraid to call in. So when we're talking to guests, you can call in, and if you have a question, if you wanted to, that number is 888-429-5471. You can go on to our website, double-s-express.com. Look up all of that information, drop us a line, give us a call, and again, great sports talk all the time.
It's been a fun show. Big thanks to our big-time guests, Greg Lewis, former University of Washington great running back, David Massey, former linebacker for the Oregon Ducks and our Oregon Ducks insider, and Daniel Barkley, former Oregon Ducks wide receiver who has a current day job for the University of Washington. So covering all the bases in Oregon and Washington football.
Man, and you hit it right on the head. Again, an awesome show. And so we look forward to great, great guests next week as well. And, you know, I feel overjoyed, man. This was something that I was excited about all day. I couldn't wait to, you know, to get on the air and talk to these great young men with great insight. And so, you know, I'll be laying my head down and thinking, man, what an awesome night, Sean Wally.
Well, go hug your wife. You've earned it.
Yeah, yeah,
my friend. Say hello to her for me. And hey, Daniel said you need to. So definitely
right.
go do that. And in the words of Chris Egan via Brock Huer, don't forget to date her once a week.
That's right. And we're definitely doing that as well, my friend.
Awesome. Well, Sean Boyd, it's been fun. Have a great night, man.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, I mean, again, tune in. Take a look at our website, double-s-express.com. One more week in the books. As Sean Wally said, show number 23 is done. Make sure that you guys have a great week. And we'll talk to you again next week for Doug Newsom, or Don Newsom, our technician. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. We'll talk to you next week on The Double.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express. You